Let us prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning, everyone. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So nice to be here with you all on this nice, crisp fall morning. Hope you've all had a nice week. I'd like to highlight a few announcements as we move forward in our service today. Please note the announcement there about the up in the Godly Play classroom as well and some of the needs that they have. December the 1st, we'll be having our Hanging of the Green service. So some of the major decoration will be done beforehand, but we'll do some of it also as part of our worship service that morning. So I encourage you to come and participate in that service as well. The choir will practice after worship today for approximately 20 to 30 minutes.
21.
20, okay.
21.
21 minutes. Exactly 21 minutes, Ann says. Sally Ann, I think you have several announcements. Let me hand it over to you for a moment.
Yes. You mentioned Godly Play, but I will just lift up, aside from study materials, we are needing new juice. We do have our feast every Sunday, and if anybody wants to contribute juice, it's great to get the Laura Lynn six-pack, I think it is, this size. That way we don't have to worry about refrigerating it. And we can just open a bottle a week.
As you see in the announcements at the very bottom, our annual Thanksgiving meal will be held on Sunday the 24th after worship. But we need volunteers. We've found that it's quite a cleanup. This church loves to come and eat, and it sometimes is 3 o'clock before our folks get out from cleaning up, and so they don't want to do it 1 month after the next. And we did that at homecoming, so we need some new folks to help out. There's a clipboard on the back soundboard. There's a clipboard up here. Just indicate whether you can help wash dishes or the fellowship hall or whatever you'd be willing to do. Or if you want to help purchase a turkey. We don't need you to spend money and give time and everything, but with the budget being low, we are asking for folks to help purchase our meat this year. It still will be a covered dish for the vegetables and side dishes and the dessert. If you want to put a contribution in the offering plate this morning, please make sure the check or the envelope is marked for Thanksgiving turkey. And I made myself clear on that. And while I'm saying this, I'm going to say that the NOW committee decided not to have the thank you for our choir the following Sunday because Thanksgiving and the Hanging of the Greens service, which is the normal time we do a Christmas meal for the choir, but since they're the Sunday before Thanksgiving and immediately the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we're going to try to do something for the choir in 2014. And we'll let you know when that comes up.
I invite John Stewart to come forward now. He has a brief announcement.
As some of you know, I returned last month from a trip practicing upstream obstetrics for the Doctors Without Borders organization in South Sudan, Africa. And a number of people have asked if I might talk about it at some point. So next Sunday after church, we'll go down to the fellowship hall we're planning right now, and I'll try and have some pictures and can talk a little bit about what we did and answer questions. So next Sunday after church.
Thank you, John. I know we all look forward to hearing about and seeing some pictures of and there'll be refreshments afterwards as well. Do you have any announcements, Kitty? I know some folks have come up to me and asked me about our commitment cards, our pledge cards for next year, the yellow ones. Hold on to those, if you will, for our service that's coming up on the 24th. There'll be a moment for you to come forward, and you can put those in the cornucopia during the worship service on the 24th. For those of you who had questions with that, are there any other announcements that we may have missed?
Yeah, Curtis.
Scott.
The worship committee meeting that we had scheduled for Monday has been changed to next Monday. So that's that.
Worship committee will be next Monday, not this coming Monday, tomorrow. So it'll be a week from tomorrow. So those of you who are on the worship committee, please make a note of that. Others? Well, if not, I invite you to rise as we sing together our opening hymn. It's found in your hymnal, number 674, See the Morning Sun Ascending, 674.
Yeah. invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Affirmations of Faith, to number 881, as together we affirm this historic confession of the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
And please be seated. And I invite our children to come down for our children's time with Miss Margaret.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, you are there. I'm glad you're there. Okay. Now let's see what we're going to do this morning. Oops. I'm going to hold a few signs, and I want you to read them to me. What does this one say?
Clean your room.
Can you say that loud?
Clean your room.
So, I wonder why we have to clean our rooms. Does Mommy and Daddy ever say that to you? Why?
Because
if you had a fire, the
firemen would run over your toys and get hurt.
Okay, that's one thing.
Does it work?
Okay. Well, you know, do you think this is a reason why we should clean our rooms? What does that say? For your health. I wonder why. Do you think that's a good reason?
For your health, to clean your room. If you would, if you didn't clean your room, there could be toys all over the room. You could step on it. Bugs.
Bugs, thank you. Dust and bugs and ooh. So maybe that is a good reason why you should clean your room. Let's see. What about this? What does that say? Say it loud.
Greed.
Greed.
Greed. I wonder why that's a good thing to clean your room. Good idea. Why is that a good idea? You don't think it's a very good idea. Well, you know, some children might think that is a good idea because if they clean their room, they get treats. Sometimes, but that is kind of a greed thing. So that's really not a good reason, is it? But it might be for some children. What about this one? Did you say it loud?
Fear.
Fear, fear. I don't think you're afraid of Mom and Dad when they say, clean your room. But you have to be very careful because you may get a consequence. And they may say, if you don't clean your room, then you can't have the treat I promised. You can't go and see your friends. You can't go and play in the park. So that's a consequence. So it's kind of a fear, but it's not a good one to have just to clean your room. So, excuse me. What is this one?
Shame.
I wonder why that may be a good one.
You would be ashamed of yourself for not cleaning your room.
That's a good idea, but you know, you would be if your grandparents came to visit, or cousins, or someone that loves you came to visit, and they went to your room and found it all upside down, couldn't find the book that you like grandparents to read to you. So that's not, it's not a good, it's, you know, to be shamed because your room isn't clean. It's probably a good thing. Now I want you to say this one out loud. Love, 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 love. Of course, love is the best thing to do when parents ask you to do anything. But you know what's even better? If you could clean your room before parents say, please go and clean your room. Pick up your toys so we can get through the room to say goodnight to you. So love is a good thing, and it's even better if you do it before. Now, we read in the Bible that Jesus says, and it's in John chapter 14 and verse 15, and it says, if you love me, you will do the things that I command. What do you think command means? What does it mean?
Command means do something like do that.
Good. That, and you know, Jesus, if we love Jesus, he wants us to do what he would like you to do for him. So let's try and remember that. I want you to hold these up. And you take a sign and hold it up. And then we'll just give them out, please. There we go. Hold it up so everyone can see them. Oh, you didn't get one. So that's the things we can think about when Mummy says, clean your room. And the most important thing is to clean your room and do what Mummy and Daddy say, because they love you. And you love Mom and Dad. So Jesus is asking us to do the same for him. And I know you all love Jesus, and Jesus just wants us to have a good life and do what his plan is for us, okay? So shall we just stand up and say a little prayer? You can hang on to those. You can take them out with us. Just hang on to your signs. Close your eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful children. Help them to learn to love you and do what you would want them to do. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Now we have the... Oh.
Merritt has a few words about our bread tin offering from the missions committee.
Oh, they've got them. Okay. All right. Thank you.
The bread tin this month is for Habitat for Humanity and is targeted to the Habitat chapter in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So please give generously. I want to give a little report on the crop walk. I've gotten some preliminary figures, and they are an occasion for us to be proud of ourselves, I think, and thankful. The crop walk, in preliminary figures, they won't close out these figures until December, but it raised about a little over $14,000 so far, of which, from what I can tell, $2,200 came from this church. I know it's not a very spiritual thing for me to be looking down and looking at First Baptist Church and seeing how we did in comparison with them, but I'm going to tell you, we did fine. We had the second largest number of walkers. We have the largest amount of money raised. I think the Lutherans are still assembling theirs. But I want to thank everybody who walked and everybody who supported a walker and everybody who made a contribution, because we made a genuine contribution to the alleviation of hunger in this country and abroad. And that's the point of the crop walk. It was a wonderful day. We had the wonderful day, and then we had the wonderful opportunity to give, from what I can see, $2,208 so far to organizations which support needy people. So once again, thank you all.
Thank you for your support of all the missions that we seek to serve here at Asbury. And as the children are heading out for Children's Church, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination, as printed in bold there in our bulletins. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. As your word is read today, stir us from apathy. Restrain us from excess, and revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this day comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Using only six handbells and a soprano, alto, and bass choir, Russell Schultz Widmark has provided a beautiful anthem that can be sung any time during the fall season. An old German song, quite folkloric in nature, provides a perfect melody to carry John Monsell's poem. There are three stanzas. Each is arranged interestingly for the singers and is supported by simple tolling patterns called ostinati, provided by the bell.
Sing to the Lord of harvest, sing songs of love and praise.
With joyful hearts and voices, your hallelujahs raise.
And hear now our gospel lesson, taken from the chapter of the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be afraid, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. There'll be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they'll arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or to contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my heart, of my mouth, and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did that gospel lesson sound kind of like those taglines on the prescription drug commercials? Have you ever seen it? You know, there's a great prescription that's out now to eliminate, I don't know, excess earwax. And then the guy comes on and he says, "Some possible side effects include, you know, your fingernails falling off, your skin turning to mush, and in rare but severe cases, death." Did our good news of the gospel seem a little less than that this morning, maybe? I actually really like this one. And I've said to you before, sometimes if there's a moment or a passage of Scripture that we find difficult, to look at just one of those parts of what the message is that it's speaking. I encourage you to look at verse 7 this day. They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" What will be the sign that this is about to take place? I love the Far Side comic strip that ran for so many years that Gary Larson did. My favorite one is, it's a drawing of this guy who's obviously a little inebriated, sitting at a bar. And next to him is a kangaroo. It's already fairly funny, isn't it? I mean, a kangaroo at a bar. And there's one of those little things where the guys who's next to the kangaroo is saying a word or two to him. He says, "Well, you may be a kangaroo, but I know a few things about marsupials myself." That one's my favorite. But you may have gotten one of these whenever you came in of another one of my favorites, the Far Side here. At Midvale School for the Gifted. And there's a rather nerdy-looking guy, this uber-nerd of sorts, with this large book that's about the size of his torso. And there's a big sign on the door there. It says, "Pull," right? And he's obviously pushing. I like it. I like it. Maybe it's because some of those folks who are such high overachievers, you know, that they're just not street smart. You know, they might be book smart, but they're not street smart. I think it reminds us that we're all human and that we all are not very good at interpreting signs. Signs can be a challenge even to the most intelligent. We're not always the best at reading them either, are we? Well, rest easy, because neither were the disciples. Throughout Scripture, one of the things that our disciple Bible study's been doing is reading large chunks of Scripture all at once, sometimes even the entire Gospel of Mark all at once. And one of the things that I really started to notice in recent weeks of reading these huge chunks of Scripture just all at once is just how much the disciples were lacking in faith. How much they always wanted a sign, particularly in Luke's gospel. Jesus has just fed 5,000 with just a few little fish and some loaves and fed all of these folks. And then he's walked on the water. And then later on they say, Jesus, give us a sign so that we know. And you want to be like, really? You really need a sign after all this? In one of the places just before this, about two chapters before this in Luke's gospel, the Pharisees are questioning Jesus. And they're asking him to give them a sign about everything. And Jesus says this. He says, "The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is among you." What Jesus means by that is that he is the sign of the kingdom of God. What Jesus means by that is not that he's going to show just so our intellect can be satisfied that this is what we need to have as proof that Jesus is real, that God's kingdom is real, that God's kingdom is here and now. We want proof. We want a sign, Lord. There's a fancy theological word that goes along with this. You know, I like to give y'all words that you can throw out at your cocktail parties and stuff and sound like you're very sophisticated, right? Well, this word is realized eschatology. Realized eschatology. And what that means is simply that Jesus and the kingdom are here with us right now, already. It's this paradox of the already, but the not yet. The already. Jesus has already come, but Jesus has not yet returned. But Jesus is here with us even right now in the presence. We so often look for future Jesus that we frequently fail to see him in the present. All you need to do is flip on the radio or the television to one of those religious programming channels and you'll just see a whole host of guys who are getting red in the face talking about how Jesus is coming back next Thursday. There was a guy down in California recently, Harold Camping, a couple years ago, who pinpointed it to a day in October, I think it was. And obviously, Jesus didn't return then. And part of me wonders about these folks who are just, you know, getting red and angry in the face, talking about how Jesus is coming back right now, you know, soon, whatever that means. One of the things that cracks me up about them is that it's almost as though they haven't read our lesson this morning, you know? Jesus tells us in very clear language, do not be led astray, for many will come in my name and say, I'm he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. Jesus also, in the 13th chapter of Mark, he says that only God the Father knows when it is that the Son will be returning, that Jesus himself doesn't even know. So I wonder, are these folks smarter than Jesus? You know, this idea of future Jesus, of the return of Christ, seems to be such a dominant theme in our culture, in our time, in our society. We want Jesus to come back. There was a shirt that a guy in college was wearing one time that I saw walking down the sidewalk there, and it said, Jesus is coming back. And it had the dot, 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 and he's really mad. We almost like to think about Jesus like that, right? Jesus coming to vindicate the righteous, us, of course, right? Jesus coming back to set everything straight. Jesus coming back to to be all and to end all and to fulfill all. And we just sit there and absorb it all in, right? But that's certainly not the picture that Jesus presents to us in the Gospels. What does Jesus do? Instead of making it all about Him, Jesus picks 12 folks, fishermen, tax collectors, outcasts, to come and take part in that mission with Him. And all they can say is, Lord, give us a sign. Give us a little bit of proof. I can appreciate their desire for proof. I'm pretty bad at reading signs as well. I can appreciate where it is that they all are coming from. But the man who's perhaps the best and most recognized theologian of the 20th century, a man named Karl Barth. It's spelled B-A-R-T-H, but if you want to sound really important, you say Karl Barth, you know. And Karl Barth had a painting on... I'm sorry we don't have PowerPoint stuff up today. How about this? Here's a sign. I thought this would be as good as any. Let me show the choir real quick. This is a painting by Matthias Grunewald, nice German guy from the 1520s. It looks fairly standard to see it at first. Here we go. This is kind of fun. Can y'all see? Here we go. Matthias Grunewald. It's called a triptych. It's an altarpiece. From a church in Germany. Here we go. You don't need to see, just take it all in as a broad sort of thing here. See? One thing you'll notice is John the Baptist, just to the right of him there, or just to Jesus' left. John the Baptist, and what's he doing? Anybody remember or could see? What's he doing? He's pointing. With his really long index finger, he's pointing to the cross. And that's all he's doing, is pointing to the cross. And someone asked Karl Barth what it is that he wanted to do with his life. And he said he wanted to be that finger. That he wanted to be that finger that points to God. He didn't say he wanted to be God, you know. He didn't say he wanted to be a wonderful theologian. He said he wants to be that finger that points to Christ. Isn't that profound? What more could you and I do or ask of ourselves than to be that finger that points as a sign to Christ? Or to put it another way, maybe what we need to do is, instead of looking for a sign, instead of asking for a sign, instead of trying to look down the road and interpret random passages of Scripture to mean whatever we want them to mean, you know, instead of listening to all kinds of stuff that comes our way from the radio, from TV, from books, from whatever, instead of worrying about future Jesus, instead of asking and looking for a sign, I think it's our call to be that sign. To be that finger that points to the cross. So that others, by the simple fact of you and I living into our baptisms, by the simple fact of our words, our deeds, our actions, by those things that we do, but also by those things that we don't do, to be that finger that points to God, that others can see the kingdom in the here and now. So often we get caught up with the past. We look in that rearview mirror, and you know when you're driving your car down the road and you glance in that rearview mirror, whether it's on the side, objects in mirror may be closer than they appear. You know, so many times that's true in our corporate life in the church, isn't it? But also we many times forget to see what's just ahead. Or we're so busy worrying about where it is that we're going in the future that we fail to see where we are right now and to embrace those possibilities and those opportunities that are here for us right now. Despite the fact that things might not be the best they've ever been, despite the fact that we might not be the most wealthy folks that we have ever been, despite the fact that we might be tired, despite the fact that we might be imperfect, God calls us to be that finger in the here and now. Not just to worry about the future, not just to embrace the past, but to be fully present here and now, pointing to God. Maybe Greg Larson could come up with a good cartoon for that. Amen. Our hymn is number 710, Faith of Our Fathers. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Please be seated. As we come to that moment of our service when we are very mindful of our prayer concerns, I lift up a few of them for you today. Thanks that Scott is here after spending a nice week in the hospital, but we are so thankful to see you here with us, Scott, and wish you a speedy recovery. Also, if you would remember the Trotter and Irwin families, the death of Sally Ann's Aunt Dot this past week. So, Sally Ann, our sympathy goes to you and your family in this time. And also, Barbara Myers, who is on our prayer list and has been for a while, her cancer has returned. That's Bob Tucker's cousin, and it doesn't look good for her. So, Bob, we certainly lift her up and her family in this time. Another very important prayer request that I lift up to you this day. Elliot Mills, the youngest son of Craig and Kathy, was in a car wreck yesterday and is in, it's very touch and go. He's in the neurotrauma ICU at Baptist. And at this time, they ask for your prayers, but they also ask for no calls or visits. The families up there in really just a hard spot as they wait to hear and as they anticipate and pray. So they covet your prayers for Elliot in this time. Are there others? The Vernon family. Yes. The Vernon family. And as Veterans Day is upon us tomorrow, we certainly remember all of those who've served in the military and those who are currently serving. Are there others?
Bruce Kidder.
Bruce. Bruce Kidder.
Cindy.
Cindy. Are there others? Well, if not, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for all that we have, for all that you've given us, for all that we are. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Forgive us, O Lord, for all of those times when we have failed to live into our baptisms, when we failed to be obedient to your word, when we failed by our actions or by our inactions to live up to the name of your disciples. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we lift up to you this day, O Lord, all of those people and situations on our prayer list and those that we speak now silently before you. Lord, may your healing hand work as only it can in the lives of your servants, especially those near and dear to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you this day, O Lord, our church, that we as individuals and as a collective unit, that we might live into the baptism as well that your Son has given to us, that we might follow faithfully even when it means that things might not be so great for us. We give you thanks for the example of your saints. We give you thanks for the example of those who've gone before us. We give you thanks for those who have served our country, but most of all, O Lord, those who have served you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you're visiting with us today, I invite you to fill out the visitor's card and place it into the offering plate as it circulates. And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray, O Lord, for all that you've given us and for all that we are. Help us that we might use both to the glory of your kingdom, that we might be signs to others of your good and great love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn. It can be found in your hymnal number 664, Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Go in peace, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you, and may you be like that finger pointing to God as a sign of his kingdom for others. Amen.